want to welcome you to the Eagle Heights Podcast, broadcasting live from Eagle Heights in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Sitting here with pastor, author, and Chuck E. Cheese...
Tolkien buyer.
Tolkien. Do you ask for Tolkien's?
Yeah, it's like, can I go there? Tolkien's?
Oh, you and all the halflings. Well, as we said, it's the Eagle Heights Podcast. We're glad that you have joined us on this beautiful day. Brent Prentice and I were just having a wonderful discussion about Chuck E. Cheese and as he calls it, the Children's Casino.
I'm just repeating Willie Robertson. Yes. Did you see that episode?
Yeah.
Where he got psychos. He's like, this crazy kid's casino.
It's pretty good. My question is, do they still have the fake animal band at Chuck E. Cheese?
It wasn't there.
Ah.
It was it was chaotic enough. We didn't need any extras.
I used to love the band. There was a gorilla on the drums that I thought was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah. Man, I was in there for my sons. I love them. They wanted to go, and I was ready to get out of there. It was absolute chaos.
Well.
It was not moral chaos. Though there might have been some moral chaos there, but it was chaos.
Well, we'll no longer have Chuck E. Cheese as a sponsor of the Eagle Heights Podcast.
So yesterday, Tyson was talking about sexual abuse, and he was talking about, you know, that... A small percentage of abuse happens by abductions from strangers. So we're in Chuck E. Cheese, and they have this thing because there's so many kids, and kids are going here and there, and they're without their parents. They have this kind of system to get you into Chuck E. Cheese, and we okay?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Into Chuck E. Cheese and out of Chuck E. Cheese.
I was concerned about some kind of system. I see like this claw that comes out. Like this guy, well, like, what's a candy?
You check in and they stamp you or something, and then you check out, and the lady at the door, before kids can leave with adults, she has to ask the kids, is this your mom or dad? Or she asks the question, who's your mom and dad? And so we were right behind a family, and there were a mom and a dad and multiple kids, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, something like that. It's a big family. And the lady was like, who's your mom and dad? And the kid was like, what? What do you mean? I don't know. What? And he wouldn't answer the question. Finally, the mom was like, I'm your mom. Tell her I'm your mom.
That's kind of scary. That sounds like something someone stealing
and
a child
like,
would
oh,
say.
This is my mom. And she's like, okay, go. And I'm thinking, okay, and this is the system we're working with here. Huh? Anyway, it was a crazy child's casino. I mean, it was nuts. I don't know what was in that pizza. It was crazy.
Now, Brent Prentice, we'll get to the heart of the matter. Cause it's time to get down to the heart of the matter.
Time to get down.
Even if you don't love me anymore. Yesterday.
A little Don Henley.
Yeah, yeah. I bought the Eagles' Greatest Hits for $1.99 on Amazon the other day.
Congratulations,
Pretty excited about it. Yesterday we talked about sexual abuse. Now, we talked about this in our core group last night, and we have several people that were wide age range, and they talked about how none of us had ever heard a sermon on sexual abuse in the church. Why is that, and why now? Because there was a discussion, right, as to whether or not we should do this.
Sure.
Yeah,
I asked the same question in Timothy Project yesterday, and you know, how much is too far? Because we came off the week before a sermon on sexual immorality and homosexuality. So, you know, I don't want to be known as sex church.
Although we might bring in a whole new crop of folk.
I don't mind being called real church, but not sex church. So, well, let me bring something up. So what Tyson was talking about yesterday in sexual abuse was kind of a technical definition of sexual abuse, right? He kind of gave a technical definition that there are unconsenting, especially talking in reference to children, but or women. It's interesting. We'll talk about the man part in a second because I had an interesting thought about that. But talking about that, you know, sexual abuse is being forced in a way, in your private parts, to interact with somebody in a way that's there's no consent, mm-hmm. and there's no consent ever between an adult and a child because a child doesn't know better. And that brings up all other sorts of questions, like when does a child become an adult and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I want to broaden it a bit before we come back to that more technical definition and then answer your question that you're asking that I'm avoiding right now. But, you know, you could make the argument biblically that all sexuality outside of marriage is abuse. Mm-hmm. So I think there's that aspect. And, but then there's abuse that is non-consensual, like an adult with a child. And you see that often in the paper now with high school students and teachers or, mm-hmm. you know, like a small child and an adult. And so that's what Tyson was really talking about yesterday. And so your question was, in that vein, what was your question?
Why talk about it now? Why hasn't the church addressed it? Because obviously, as Tyson showed, and as we have discovered by going through Romans, this is something the Bible addresses.
Right, right. And that was clear in the Thessalonians passage, even though, again, I think, you know, if we broaden the definition, all sexuality outside of the covenant goodness of marriage is an abuse of God's plan. It's a perversion of God's plan. I don't know. I mean, you know, what other topics could we talk about that aren't comfortable? You know,
we did a whole series on uncomfortable Christianity.
Well, I mean, but you know, honestly, what other topics would we say this about? I don't know. I mean, I just think it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And the reality, he used the illustration of 1 in 5 people have been sexually abused. To think about that, there are a lot of people to think about that in our church that sexual abuse is very likely happening mm-hmm. even currently, and we don't know about it, or to realize that I'm living in the shadow, or somebody's living in the shadow of that, and they need to deal with it. They need to maybe rip the scab off, even though that's going to hurt, to get some healing, to get some treatment for that, so that mm-hmm. they can find help. And then also the reality that to some degree, maybe there is no complete healing this side of heaven for sexual abuse. So I just think it opens up a can of worms, especially the fact that, let's say there was somebody in our church that was dealing with this. And I was thinking about this. I thought, what are we really asking for here? Mm-hmm. Somebody comes to me and says, I'm being sexually abused. And let's say they're being sexually abused by someone we know in our church. Mm-hmm. I've got to act on that now.
Yeah.
That means I may have to go to the authorities with someone that I know that I thought was a moral person, relatively speaking, you know, mm-hmm. that's pretty frightening.
Yeah. Well, it goes to the Ephesians 5 passage, you know, talking about how, you know, with light and darkness, how these deeds are done in dark.
Right.
Our job is to bring them right to the light, no matter what that means for us or for the person we're helping, whatever it comes into, you know. And I had a guy come up to me afterwards who is a, you know, a deacon in our church. He's a police officer, and he said, "Hey, I deal with these cases way too often, but should someone come to you, you know, you need that, I'm here to help." Mm-hmm. You know, so he's using his position, whatever he can, to help us in these cases. But yeah, we're opening ourselves up to that, which we should.
Right.
I think of how many times people have sat in our churches, you know, struggling with that, battling that from a memory or, you know, currently mm-hmm. going on, who never had it addressed. Mm-hmm. And this Sunday probably was very uncomfortable for some people.
Yeah.
You know, with Tyson, you know, quoted the statistic, and he quoted several statistics, but one that he said was, you know, sexual abuse. We have cases from, you know, 3 months to 80-year-old people mm-hmm. in nursing homes. Mm-hmm. You know, as a father of an 8-month-old, you know, I'm thinking, oh my gosh. You know, because Tyson spoke from a mm-hmm. very personal place and recounted an experience when he was a kid. But
yeah, go listen to the sermon.
Yeah.
You need to listen to the sermon. It's biblical and very fact-based.
Yeah.
And he offers a lot of good solutions, had a lot of good application too.
Yeah, we had an insert mm-hmm. in there with several statistics. I'll just read some of these briefly. There's statistics on sexual assault, and we share this on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Eagle Heights. There's a little wink for you. Sexual assault occurs in 10% to 14% of all marriages. Every 2 minutes, someone in the U.S. is sexually assaulted, which is frightening. We are coming up on 14 minutes in the Eagle Heights podcast, so in the time we've been talking, 7 people statistically have been sexually assaulted. 80% of victims are under the age of 30. Only 5 to 20% of sexual assaults are actually reported. 17% of men and 25% of women are or will be victims of sexual assault in their lifetime. That's frightening. That's, you know, what do you talk about, 1 in 5. 90% of young women involved in prostitution were sexually abused as children. That's a striking one. You know, because we talk about the sex slave trade, in essence, and we talk about how people get in these positions where the lust comes from for this. A lot of those roots go back to sexual assault. So if we want to be, you know, in it to end it, which is kind of the thing that Passion is championing, one thing that we can do is champion the cause of bringing awareness or fighting sexual assault in children, because that breeds these kind of minds in a lot of ways that want to get into this. Just one more. 80% of victims are assaulted by a known acquaintance.
Yeah.
So,
well, right here you see the devastation of the perversion of God's covenant protection in trying to restrain marriage to a man and a woman, and sex being a part of that covenant, trying to restrain that between a man and a woman, a consensual covenant in which they enter into that covenant with each other, understanding that sex is a part of that, loving each other, doing what's best for each other, and nurturing each other, not forcing and compulsion and abuse. And you see the fallout and the consequences of it. It's really deadly serious, and temporally serious, and deadly eternally serious, you know, because people probably feeling the shame, they resort to these other things because I think he's right. A lot of times, especially if you're a child and you don't know why this is happening, you're thinking, did I invite this? Was this my fault? Mm-hmm. Why does he want to do this to me? Or she, you know, to be fair. But it's devastating, the fallout, the consequences, the devastation.
Yeah, and something that we've talked about in our man's time, and I've talked about with a lot of young men is the young men and older men. You know, this isn't an age specific difficulty, but the issue of pornography. Mm-hmm. You know, the big question is, you know, what am I hurting? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this, in the comfort of my own home or whatever the case may be. You know, Tyson quoted a statistic, you know, looked at the fact that men who start sexual assaults, you know, start looking at pornography. And he said, you know, if you're even on the most quote unquote safe and non-hurting aspects of, you know, pornography or different things, you are putting yourself on the road, because looking at any type of pornography or lust, or, you know, sexual lust breeds deeper levels of sexual lust. You think, well, I would never go there, but I'm comfortable going here. You know, when you open that door, when you don't fight against that sin, you're on a very slippery slope. It's frightening.
Why even entertain where this could go?
Yeah.
Maybe entertain's not the best word, but why even play with it? You're playing with fire. So don't do it. Quick question, and then a thought about the masculine part in this big issue. So what did your core group say, Ryan Smith? And if you're not a part of a core group, you need to be in a small group so you can really press the application of God's word and care for each other. But so there's a plug for core groups, but what did your core group say about, is this something that needs to be addressed in the church? Or is this inappropriate?
We agreed that it needs to be addressed because it is addressed in the Bible. B, because it's happening. And C, because the world and, you know, culturally, the discussion over sex is already being had. All of these things are out there. And someone brought up, I thought it was a very good point, and so this will be my last point, but the fact that if the church had been talking about this all along, we likely would not be standing where we are with the issue of the sex trade and sexual assault, and with all these statistics, while the drive in some people is always going to be there, Had the church been at the forefront, not been silent on this issue, we probably could have saved a lot of people a lot of hurt.
Yeah. Well, it's significant how often Paul in the Bible talks about sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in that Romans passage, he talks about suppression of truth, idolatry, people that should have known suppress the truth, idolatry, the result of idolatry, first thing out of idolatry. Idolatry is the root. First thing is sexual immorality and homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuality being more specific manifestation of sexual immorality because they've forsaken the creator and the created order. And then it's everything else. Mm-hmm. He mentions everything else. And there's reasons that he connects idolatry with sexual immorality because oftentimes in the Old Testament, idolatry, idol worship was called spiritual harlotry.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's all sorts of context to deal with, but it's significant. So I don't know how we could read the Bible and not deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that sexual abuse is an important implication or outgrowth of sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and this is why we, as the church and as Christians, want to champion the boundaries of marriage mm-hmm. and the boundaries of sex that God has given. We are called, you know, people say it's a phobia. People say, you know, it's just a traditional old bygone idea. But let's be clear: there are people that would say, "I have this urge for forced pedophilia."
Yeah.
I have this urge. This must be how God made me, you know, so I'm going to naturally follow that urge. In some places in our society, that said, oh, that's completely fine. That's great. Go down that road. In others, you know, right now, thankfully, in this area of, you know, sexual assault with children, said, no, you should not follow that. So there's a recognition of some degree of boundary. We have to decide and point to where that boundary comes from, and it is from God. And so no matter what that boundary keeps out, you know, we have to uphold it, even if, you know, certain sides are pushing in on it. So it's a difficult thing, but.
Well, in the Greco-Roman world, pedophilia, correct me if I pronounce this word wrong, pedastry, is that how you say it?
That's podiatry?
Not podiatry. That's where the word probably comes from, but where a man would have children. It's pedophilia. A man would have children, a mature man, a free man in Roman culture. It was not looked down upon for him to have children who were toys, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman emperors were quite famous for doing that. I can't remember specifically which one it was. It might have been Trajan. But anyway, it was common. There were no boundaries. So, you know, at least we have some sense of boundaries today. I suppose we should be thankful for that. But you could see it going quickly in the way we're headed and losing other boundaries. It could go to that extreme quickly, you know, because you start saying, well, this is okay, then it's kind of like a domino effect. What's next? And some people say, that's ridiculous. We won't ever do that. Well, why wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they call it the slippery slope fallacy. I've seen it recently in reading some articles, but it's not that far-fetched to think. As a matter of fact, I read an article, I think it was in Brazil or Argentina, where there was a civil union with three people.
Hmm.
So it's not out of the realm to think that these things could happen, because they've happened in the past. History repeats itself. We know that. History is cyclical. So
yeah, and it's not just children. You know, as we address the story in 2 Samuel with Amnon and Tamar. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah. Yes. I don't know. I can't remember who the man was, but
I think it was Amnon. Yeah. Either way, you know, it was his stepsister. In essence, he rapes her.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's interesting what it says. It says after the act is done, it says that he sent her out because he hated her more than he had loved her
right
before. So you can just see the
contempt.
Inherent godlessness mm-hmm. in it. So, well, Brian, I want to ask you a question to wrap up. I know you have one more thing.
Yes. Let's
talk about.
What's your question?
My question will be a wrap-up question.
Okay, well, so to the dude and Tamar.
Yes.
David's son.
Yeah.
So one thing that struck me yesterday as he was talking about these things is that abusers are 10% female and 90% male.
Mm-hmm.
we know from reading the Bible that the male is to be a protector. And when he's not protecting, he's not protecting. And so, you know, I thought about my responsibility as a father to protect my children. So, you know, I had a talk with Luke last night in bed. Now, he didn't hear the sermon, but and I need to talk to Elijah. We've had this talk before about who they're with. I'm even especially cautious around, not around family. I just don't like my boys being alone with people. And I talked to him last night about, you know, what's appropriate and what's not. So that was helpful to read. But I just thought, you know, men are supposed to be protectors. And when they don't accept their God-given responsibility, which is a part of manhood, to accept the leadership responsibility to protect, and even physiologically, men are built, we're bigger, we're stronger to be protectors. And when we don't protect, we use that and we abuse the strength and the protectiveness that God's given us. Because I think women do look to men to be protectors. Children do look to men to be protectors, and then they abuse it. I think it's Genesis 3, 16 and 17 and 18. It's the fall. So I don't know what to say about it other than it was just striking to me that a lot of this abuse is happening when men are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're doing the exact opposite of what they should be doing.
Yeah.
So it's a call really for men to step up, quit being naive, quit being stupid, quit acting like little boys who can't control their urges, and you know, say, I'm going to be committed to the authority of Scripture. I'm going to commit to Jesus. I'm going to accept responsibility for my family. And I'm going to do the hard things. I'm going to have the hard talks. I'm going to be the protector and the keeper of my family. And I'm not going to turn a blind eye when I see stuff. You know, I just think about the Jerry Sandusky case.
Right.
People just ignoring things that were there's a grown man in the shower with boys. Well, it seemed a little strange at the time, but, you know, I didn't think too much about it.
Yeah.
You need to go to jail with him. So yeah. Anyway, just a thought.
And talk
it's
about
a call to manhood.
The fallout from that, you know, as we talk about biblically, we're to bring these dark things to light. And when we don't do that, you know, Joe Paterno and his family would attest, you know.
Kick your question.
Well, Brent, this is kind of is interesting thing. We want to turn the page a little bit.
All right.
Because 2 weeks ago, we talked about homosexuality and sexual perversion.
Right.
This past Sunday, we talked about sexual abuse. Now, if someone is visiting Eagle Heights and they're like, well, you know, they preach through the Bible and all this stuff, that's great. And all we hear about is, you know, people might start calling us Eagle Heights Sex Church for some reason. We have these, you know, dark messages about good things and we're learning things. But as we go through the Bible, I want to read to you briefly the next passage, the next pericope. I want to talk about what we're going to talk about. I know it's Monday morning, and so looking forward to Sunday for you is a bit off the horizon. But so we finished 21 through 28, so I'll read this paragraph. This is what's left, what likely you'll be addressing this Sunday. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetous, malicious. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So this is the text for your next message. There you go.
That's why you got to read the whole letter.
Yeah.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Is that going to be the thrust of your message? How do you take this?
Well, if I gave the thrust of my message, people might be inclined not to come. Well, I've been thinking about, you know, just the difficulty of these sermons. And again, you got to frame it in the context of, if you think in concentric circles, Paul's big outside, excuse me, I wasn't speaking in the microphone. Imagine me holding my arms up and making a big circle, concentric circles. And Paul's big argument, the thing he's trying to convince us all of, is he tries very hard there, is idolatry leads to sexual immorality, specific sexual immorality being homosexuality. And then, oh, by the way, every other kind of junk you can think of in the world. And none of us escape that. Mm-hmm. None of us escape idolatry. And then we've probably all seen the manifestation in the lives of others in our own lives. So you got to think in Paul's big argument, his big circles, I hold my arms up again, mm-hmm. argument that he's trying to show us we're all without excuse. We're all sinners, Jew, Gentile, everybody. So, you know, he's got to tell us that we're bad before he can help us see the righteousness we need in Christ, which goes back to 1:16 and 17 in the gospel that's powerful to save, mm-hmm. and then justification by faith alone. So, but one word that strikes me there, I'll give a little hint, is he says, what does verse 28 say again? Read 28.
And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be
okay,
done.
Okay, read 29.
They were filled with all manner.
There it is. They were filled.
Hmm.
Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, he says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but rather be filled with the Spirit. And that word in Romans, now in Ephesians 5:18, it is a command. It's the command for the passage. It mm-hmm. really flows even through the marriage passage. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be controlled by the Spirit, not be controlled by wine or any other thing. Sin is being controlled by anything but God. That's sin. Not submitting to any, it's submitting to anything but God. So there he uses the same word, plerao. But it is a perfect tense participle, meaning at some point that the manifestation of this sin, they've filled themselves so much with the world's thought, with the world's way of thinking, that Paul's saying they're overflowing with all this junk. This is the overflow of making other gods. And so I think there's something, you know, I think the question becomes then, maybe one angle I'm going to take is, well, how do we fight sin? And we can either fight it by kind of dealing with symptoms, which I think these are symptoms, they're indicators,
mm-hmm.
or we can really go at the root of our sin with the gospel. And so that may be the angle that I take, and really trying to think more practically about how do we not engage in these things. So
yeah, well, that sounds good. And I think, yeah. I think the best advice we can give to someone who's saying, you know, what's the deal with Eagle Heights is that, you know, as we go through, Paul is making the argument, pointing out, like you said, the junk.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be faithful to the text, faithful to Paul's argument, and pointing out the junk. So the time is coming. You're going to step us back a little bit to help us see the grand view.
Yeah.
That sounds good. We're not just obsessed with it for the sake of it. We're just pointing out what the Bible points out.
Thank you, Paul.
So make sure and go listen to Pastor Elder Tyson Auctioner's message. It should be right below this one on the Eagle Heights podcast, however you get it. And we would like your feedback. We've been posting stuff on our Facebook page. Check it out. Write in what you think. Positive or negative reviews, we're welcome to all. So you can check that out, facebook.com/Eagle Heights. You can check us out on the web at eagleheights.com. Also on Twitter, we are @EagleHeights. So, as always, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Eagle Heights podcast.